Welcome, everyone. Welcome to a very special teleclass by Sue Coach and me. I'm Carol Schwartz, and we call this class January Jumpstart, Creating Goals That Matter. And whether you're here with us live or listening to an audio, we know that you've chosen to spend 1 hour of your very valuable time with us because you are someone who doesn't want to settle for the crumbs of life. You know that there's more available to you if only you could uncover how to create what you want. A life filled with success and prosperity, a life that fulfills and inspires you. Well, we want that for you too. And that's why Sue and I are doing this class tonight at no charge, because we know that one of the key strategies for creating the life that you want is to be able to set and attain your goals. But not just any goals, goals that really matter, goals that will make a difference for you and for the people that you love when you reach them. So here's how the call is going to go. In the first part, we'll be sharing with you some very important insights and tools and techniques that we use with our coaching clients to help them determine what goals are worth going after. And to get the most out of the call, you might want to jot down some notes, and you will definitely want to participate whenever we give you a chance to share your ideas and experiences with us and with each other. However, that's completely voluntary, but the more you participate, the more we think you'll get out of the call. And it's nice if you have the handout that we sent you with the call information called the Reflections Exercise. It's great if you have that with you because we're going to be referring to it during the call, but it's not essential if you have it. You don't have it open right now. You can certainly work with it later, but just take down some notes about what we're going to tell you about it. And then in the second part of the call, we'll tell you exactly how you can implement what we're teaching you tonight about goal setting and go even further to actually reach those worthy goals that you know you truly want. Okay, we're all ready, so here we go. Some of the items you probably have as your New Year's resolutions, we think are actually a laundry list of specific doings. And what you really are after is not doings, but experiences that light you up emotionally. And Sue and I are going to show you the difference between a goal that is really worth pursuing and one that can't ever deliver what you're really after. And if it can't deliver what you're really after, you'll probably never complete it, just as 82% of all people who set New Year's resolutions never complete them. But before you can create and manifest a worthy new goal that lights you up, you have to make space for it to come into your life. First, you need to clear out the old clutter. It's sort of like having a closet stuffed with your old, outdated, outsized clothes. You aren't going to go out and buy a whole new wardrobe if you know when you get it home it's not going to fit in the closet. But how do you go about clearing out the clothes closet of your life to make space for a whole new wardrobe of thoughts and experiences that you'd like to feel great wearing? I'm going to turn it over to Sue Coach now to tell you exactly how to do that. Sue?
Hi, everybody. Thanks, Carol. Before I start, I just really want to wish you all a really happy new year, and not only that, but a really happy new decade. And I don't know about you, but I think this is really an exciting time to be looking at a fresh start. I want to start by talking about integrity. And for some of you, I know that this is a reminder, but for others, this may be a new call to action. So for the purpose of this call, we're going to work with the definition of integrity as having things be whole and complete. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're putting a jigsaw puzzle together and you discover that there are several pieces you can't locate. Based on our working definition, is the puzzle in integrity? Of course not. So what do you think you'd notice in that moment when you can't find those missing puzzle pieces? That's right. You notice that something's missing, without which the puzzle can never be whole and complete. So here's what happens then. Your mind goes to work. It wants to solve the problem. Consider that your mind is a biological onboard computer whose purpose is to, number one, keep your biological systems running without you having to think about it. And number two, it stores data. And number three, it solves problems. So your brain, problem solver that it is, will want to solve the problem of the missing puzzle pieces. You might find yourself asking questions like, why are the puzzle pieces missing? What happened to them? Who's to blame? Along with these thoughts, you'll experience any accompanying emotion. It might be the emotion of disappointment or frustration that you did all that work and you can't complete the puzzle. Other emotions you could experience about the missing puzzle pieces might be anger, resentment, or you might think things never turn out the way you want them to. Or you might even think people just don't care. However it goes, your mind isn't going to be able to rest until it solves the problem of the missing puzzle pieces. And if you spend time looking for them and you find them in the box or on the floor, you'll experience a sense of relief and, oh yes, completion. But what happens when the solution isn't that simple? What happens when you can't find the missing puzzle pieces? Whether you're consciously aware of it or not, your brain is going to continue to work on figuring out a way to complete the puzzle until you find a solution, and you'll continue to experience emotion about it. So at this point, I'd like to hear from you guys. What do you see as some possible solutions you could choose for completing this puzzle? So you just unmute yourself and share an idea. Just call them out, and if you don't remember, it's *6 to unmute.
Sue?
Yeah.
This is Kathy.
Hey, Kathy.
That is such a perfect example because having been a preschool teacher, I ran into that problem. And what I wound up doing to solve the problem is I traced the missing piece on a piece of paper and had a parent cut out the piece.
Nice.
So it could fit in to the puzzle. But then I had another problem because now I had to have it painted so that it would fit the rest of the other pieces. And then I had another problem because then it wasn't exactly the same thing. But I did get a piece that fit in.
Uh-huh. Great
Very
idea.
Very resourceful.
Who else has an idea? Okay, well, here's a couple that I thought of. One is that you could choose to throw the puzzle away or, you know, maybe recycle it since we're thinking green these days. And if you just, and it came to you incomplete, you could return it for a refund. However, even with Kathy's solution, you may or may not feel that the puzzle is complete if you continue to carry the emotional burden of upset about the missing puzzle pieces. And on top of that, more and more new things are always coming at you in life, aren't they? So more things that if you don't address them simply become more incompletions. So you might want to write this one down, and I'll repeat it. Incompletions are all the unfinished business of your life that keeps you from living fully in the present moment. And I'll say that again. Incompletions are all the unfinished business of your life keeps you from living fully in the present moment. So here are some examples.
Hang on 1 second, Sue. I think we're getting some feedback. I'm going to try to mute us all again. Hang on.
Okay, is that better?
See if that works. Yep.
Okay. So I'll start with repeating that sentence once again. Incompletions are all the unfinished business of your life that keeps you from living fully in the present moment. And here are some examples. Unfinished business in relationships. Undelivered communications to the people in your life. Incomplete tasks or projects at home or work, like doing your taxes, cleaning out the garage, organizing your office. You guys know the ones I mean, don't ya? So eventually, all these incomplete issues pile up like heavy objects higher and higher on a table until the table eventually collapses under their weight. You will begin to notice this as stress. You may notice it or you may ignore it until it builds to a place where your body manifests stress in illness or in addictive behaviors that help you to temporarily relax. Your mind gets so cluttered with junk that there's no room for anything exciting and new to come in. So you get bored and tired and resigned with the weight of all the incompletions in your life. Some of the real-life costs of having your table collapse under the weight of this mental and emotional baggage, as we mentioned, include stress, health issues, creating addictions for coping, maybe ruined careers, ruined relationships, and so on. Sounds pretty heavy, doesn't it? So Carol and I invite you to look at where you are now noticing the effects in your own life of incompletions weighing you down. Is there anybody who's willing to share like one incompletion you know you've been avoiding and what it's costing you? So again, you can unmute yourself and just say your first name and share with us what the incompletion is and what it has been costing you.
Just hit *6 and it will unmute you. Nobody has any incompletions in their life? My gosh, this is an amazing group of people, Sue.
Yeah, I know. Everybody's checkbook is balanced.
Garage is clean. You don't have anybody you need to say something to that you haven't said. Things like that. Well, I think they get the idea, so
yeah,
we'll just go on.
Yep. So there's nothing wrong with having incompletions, by the way. We all have them. But I'm going to assert that most of the time we're unaware of just how much junk we've accumulated and how bogged down we are with the weight of it. So I'm going to turn the call back over to Carol to tell you about a powerful tool for helping you start to clear away the incompletions of your past year.
Thanks, Sue. Well, hopefully you all got the reflections exercise that was attached to the number for this call. And Sue and I designed that reflections exercise that we sent you to help you get more clarity about, one, how much clutter you have crammed in your clothes closet from 2009 and maybe even further back than that, and two, how to start dealing with the clutter and clearing it out so that you can create a successful and fulfilling 2010. As a reminder, the reflections exercise is meant to help you uncover the facts about the past year with regards to what happened, how you contributed to what happened, and what you learned from it. So it has three sections to it. Even if you don't have it in front of you, just kind of listen to what I'm saying and you'll get the idea, and then you can go actually do the exercise later. Part one of the reflections exercise contains questions to complete the year, such as, what promises did I break to myself and others? What did I tolerate? What do I wish I hadn't wasted my time and energy on? What do I wish I had expended my energy and time on last year? And then part two has questions for acknowledgement and acceptance, such as, what promises did I keep to myself and others? What accomplishments am I celebrating? And what's the most important thing I learned last year? And part three gives you questions for creating and intending for the new year, like, what do I intend to do differently this year? What would I most like to learn or master, and how would that make me feel? And what do I intend to accomplish this year that will matter most 5 years from now? So did you complete this or get a good start on it yet? I hope you did.
Carol, I just got a message that people are having trouble unmuting, so.
Okay, well, let's unmute everyone. We'll take the. All right, so everyone's unmuted. If you have background noise, you're going to have to *6 to mute yourself, but thank you for the message, whoever sent that. So I know that some of you did do the reflections exercise because I've already gotten some feedback from some of my clients on it. So would anybody be willing to share about how the exercise went for you and any ahas or insights that you've gotten from it so far? Just say your first name and share your thoughts about it with us if you did it, if you did any of it.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, who's that?
Okay, Lison.
Hi, Lison.
Hi. I really seriously tried to answer the questions today, and the one that I got the longest answer to was *3, the things that I resent.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them I honestly could not answer because mm-hmm. I didn't make any promises to myself. I live a day-to-day existence, and I was so centered on the events of my life that I didn't have any time for that, and I never thought of anyone really making promises to themselves.
So you got a new insight in what's possible that you haven't tried doing before. You might try it this year. You uncovered that you had a lot of resentments, which you might not have ever thought about if you hadn't done the exercise.
Yes.
Great. Beautiful.
Yes.
Who else?
Great.
One other person want to share what they saw out of it?
And I suppose, can I say something again?
Sure.
I suppose incompletions would be very much related to resentments.
Certainly. Resentments can be a kind of incompletion. If you resent something and you don't communicate that or try to do anything about it to clean it up and complete it, that could certainly become an incompletion. Good insight. Well, I want to share one of the big benefits that one of my clients shared with me that she noted from the exercise. She said it helped her see exactly what outcomes she was unsatisfied with last year that could help her determine what specific changes she needed to make this year to get better results. She never thought of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what they say about doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result? That's the definition of insanity, right? And yet, haven't we all found ourselves with the same New Year's resolutions on our list year after year? You first need to determine exactly where you are not getting results, and then you can determine why you're not getting them, and then you can make a plan for what you need to do differently this time if you want to get better results. But without sitting down and writing it out, we're often left with just a hazy impression that, well, it all didn't go as well as we'd hoped last year. But we never really pinpoint the cause so that we can't ever change our plan of attack this time around and get a different result. So thank you very much, Lizone, for your sharing and your participation, and I know lots of other people got a lot out of it as well. Now, we invite those of you who have not yet completed this exercise, and we know a lot of you just got it or you were waiting to hear what we said about it on the call to do that, but we invite you to keep at it. And it may take you a few sessions to get through it. I think somebody told me that the first section took about a half an hour, so the whole thing might take you an hour and a half, something like that. But please don't let it hang over you for a long time and add it to your list of incompletions, where that wasn't what we intended at all. And by the way, if for some reason you didn't receive the reflections exercise or you can't find the attachment that went with our email, just email one of us or call one of us after the call, and we'll be happy to send it to you. It's a very valuable exercise. So, okay. Sue, back to you.
Is it, sorry, just one more? I just want to clear up one question.
Yes, Lisa.
That I'm able to answer it. When you ask what accomplishments am I celebrating, what exactly do you mean so that I can answer it properly when I do get to it?
Sue, would you like to answer that one?
Sure. As you look back over your year and kind of take a look at what you accomplished that really felt good, you know, maybe you got a raise, maybe you got into a new relationship or the one at work, you know, whatever you feel is an accomplishment for you, and that's going to be different for everybody. Just celebrate that. You know, a lot of times we blow over our accomplishments and don't really take the time to pat ourselves on the back.
Okay.
Yeah, completing your year isn't about beating yourself up at all. It's just about looking at what's there, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And certainly the good is part of it.
You know, one accomplishment I think we all have for 2009 is just getting through the year.
Yay, we're all here. Okay, I'm going to put us all back into mute mode because I'm hearing some background noise again, and I will unmute everyone when it's time to give a share again. Okay, Sue, take it away.
Okay, awesome, Carol. Thank you. I want to go back for a moment to what we said earlier about the brain being a biological onboard computer whose job it is to keep our biological systems running, store data, and solve problems. There's a tricky part to our brain, and that is that if you don't give it enough important problems to solve, it'll make up problems. And the problems it makes up are not always in service to your highest and best gifts, skills, and abilities. So you want to make sure that once you clear out the clutter, you replace it with high-quality problems. Well, how do you identify a high-quality problem? Here's some examples for you to think about. Creating a career shift or starting a business. Committing to or leaving a relationship. Starting a family. Moving. Generating a risky interpersonal communication or confronting someone. And asking for help can sometimes be very challenging for people. So So as you can see from these few examples, high-quality problems are actually goals and challenges that, if met, can make a substantial difference in your life and the lives of those who care about you. The emotions associated with high-quality problems include excitement, joy, adventure, curiosity, creativity, aliveness, and so forth. In contrast, there are also what we call safe problems. Safe problems are lingering issues which actually lie within our control, whether we choose to do something about them or not. Here are some examples of those. Depression, and this next one's my personal favorite, procrastination. Hesitation, unhealthy weight or food and other addictions, blame, avoiding making decisions, or emotionally withdrawing from relationships. So the emotions of safe problems include fear, boredom, sadness, anger, resentment, and so forth. Now I want to share another model with you, which was developed by Tony Robbins. And in this model, there are four basic human emotional needs that we must get met, and we will do whatever we need to do to get them met, whether we do it in a healthy manner or an unhealthy manner. Number one is the need for certainty, such as the certainty of shelter or food. And if you want a real-life example where certainty is threatened, think about the people in Haiti right now. Their certainty is certainly in question.
Mm.
Number two, the need for variety, which also may be thought of as having new experiences. Number three, the need for significance, which in this model means the experience of being unique or special and having the ability to contribute something of value to others and be recognized for your contribution. And number four, the need for love and connection, knowing that you have people to care about and people who care about you. Something interesting happens when people come up against risky or what we're calling high-quality problems. When you think about it, a high-quality problem may be in opposition to your need for certainty. So here's what Carol and I want you to consider in regards to safe problems. They seem safe because they distract us. In our unconscious mind, they protect us from the fear that if we try and fail to overcome a high-quality problem, we will prove that we're not enough, which is the need for significance. And we might even lose the support and affection of those we care about, which is the need for love and connection. We invite you to take a look at your own New Year's resolution list. Are your goals high-quality goals that will really make a difference in your life if you meet them? Or are they the same old safe problems you probably put on last year's list, too? Are you still trying to lose the same 10 pounds? Are you still trying to stop smoking? Are you still trying to get out of debt? Are you still trying to go to the gym 3 times a week? Aren't these issues really under your control? Yet you haven't been able to reach these goals, no matter how much you think you want to. What's up with that? So we're going to assert it's because these goals are just a to-do list of safe problems that can distract you from the high-quality goals you know you really want and need to accomplish, but which seem too risky. As you review your answers to the reflections exercise, we invite you to take a look and see where your incompletions may be the result of creating safe problems to avoid tackling high-quality goals because those seem too risky. But guess what? They only seem really risky if you're telling yourself that falling short of them will cause you to lose significance and love, and you may use different words for that. If a goal seems too risky, you must question your fears about it. If you examine your emotions when you think about tackling risky goals, you may uncover that you've been unconsciously attaching a meaning to them that isn't necessarily true. And then you can just check in with yourself and say, is this really true? For instance, if you went after a new career, what would you really stand to lose if it didn't work out? Would your family really stop loving you? Would you really be seen as a worthless failure by your friends? Or would the real cost of possible failure be far less? Holding your unconscious fears up to the light in this way can help you determine the real risk if you try and fail to reach a high-quality goal. Once you've honestly examined the reality of the risks, then ask yourself this, and you might want to write this down, and I will repeat it. What might be possible for me if I were to replace my safe, distracting goals with high-quality goals, what could my life look like then? Again, what might be possible for me if I were to replace my safe, distracting goals with high-quality goals? What could my life look like then? Okay, Carol, back to you.
Well, that question, Sue, is exactly what we're inviting them to take on as the next step in creating their future, isn't it?
You bet.
That's exactly what we want you to think about when you think about having a future that's the way you want it to be. What's possible for you? We invite you to consider your own personal what's possible for me question and then decide for yourself, out of all that could be possible for you, what do you most want to have right now, this year? And what midterm possibilities could you foresee manifesting in, say, maybe 3 years? And how about some long-term possibilities that you'd love to manifest in 3 to 5 years? These possibilities are what will carry you into the next phase of creating your life your way. First, setting specific high-quality goals for yourself. Then, determining how long it will likely take you to reach them. And then, creating a workable step-by-step action plan for actually attaining them within that period of time. That's really the formula, 1, 2, 3. First, set high-quality goals, and that's the trick. And then determine, think about how long will it likely take you to reach that goal? When would you be willing to have that thing? How long would it take? And finally, once you know how long it's going to take and that you're really committed to it, you create a workable step-by-step action plan for actually attaining it within that time period. But if you don't do anything about your goals, then what's possible for you will forever remain just that, a possibility. If you want to turn possibility into reality, you have to take action. But before you take action on your high-quality goals, you have to be aware of the inevitable roadblocks that you will encounter on the way to your goal. This is the number one secret to making your goals a reality, knowing the reasons that most plans fail. What are those roadblocks? I'll share with you one of those roadblocks right now. Are you ready? You want to write this down. Most people don't know how to identify whether a roadblock that they encounter on their way to fulfilling a high-quality goal is a real obstacle or simply a limiting belief. If it's a real logistical issue that has to be handled, then we assert as coaches that there's always a strategy that you can design and employ to overcome any obstacle. But more often than not, what you consider a no-win scenario is really just a limiting belief you hold, one that you're probably not even aware of, that determines what you believe you're capable of, what you believe you deserve, or what you believe is okay with others for you to have. Well, the good news is limiting beliefs can be transformed into new empowering beliefs that will support you in reaching your goals. In fact, credible scientific studies done by the government have shown that it takes just 25 to 30 days of consistent repetition for your brain to be able to completely release an old belief and adopt a new belief. Actually create a new neural pathway that's going to be the default way it thinks about things. And it only takes 25 to 30 days, but it takes consistent repetition. Not knowing the difference between a real obstacle and a limiting belief is just one of the reasons that most people never reach their goals. And Sue and I know all those secrets. There are other roadblocks that can trip you up on the way to your goals, and if you don't know what they are, your best laid plans can be derailed by them. Now, we've got a few minutes before I want to do the closing part of this call. So I'm going to unmute everyone and give you an opportunity to ask any questions that you have for a couple of minutes. We can take a few questions right now. Okay, who's got another question? Lizone had some great ones there. Who else has a question about anything we've said or anything on this topic?
Hi, Sophie.
Hi, Sophie.
I just want to just basically reconfirm what Sue said, and it was actually in my questionnaire, and it came up to me a few times for last year, especially in the part two, and it's procrastination. And that was my big thing, and that was my safe problem. And I recognized that, and I really appreciated Sue making me again aware of how that has been limiting for me, and really recognizing that I do have at this moment a high quality problem that I'm working with, which I believe I've spoken to you about.
Mm-hmm. So you had an aha there that you wanted to share with us.
Yeah, that was definitely an aha.
Mm-hmm.
With the procrastination. So that was, I just wanted to say that was really interesting.
Thank you so much. Well, I'm hearing that, you know, people are really getting a lot out of this reflections exercise. I love hearing that. And those of you that haven't done it yet, you're in for a treat when you do it.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Okay. All this is very intelligent and definitely very rational, which is the most difficult thing that I, excuse my English if it's not proper, but it's the thing that I have the most difficulty with, because I find that emotions intervene a lot and prevent me from going forth. It just goes around and around in circles, no matter what the logic is and no matter how much sense it makes.
Mm-hmm. That is truly a phenomenon. Sue, do you have something you want to say about emotions? You touched on that.
Well, you really want to pay attention to your emotions and see and make the connection, you know, to what the thought is that's associated with that emotion. You know, in terms of procrastination, I really had to take a look at what's the thought that accompanies that thing when I say I'm not going to do this right now. I don't want to do this right now. Well, the emotion for me is generally fear.
Yes.
And it's really fear of failure. And trying to not take anything on until I knew it could be perfect. And once I could give that up and thought there's no such thing as perfect anyway, that started to change everything for me. Now, does that mean it's gone away? No, I still procrastinate sometimes, and I have Carol and other people in my life who support me in working my way through it. But there's nothing wrong with what you're experiencing. The question becomes, does it work for you or not? If it doesn't work for you, then there's all kinds of ways through coaching and other things that you can get support. You need to work your way through that.
Mm-hmm.
That answer your question?
Yes. Yes.
One of the things Sue and I know a lot about and want to share with you, and I'll tell you about it in a little bit how we can share that with you, is these four needs that she touched on that Tony Robbins points out: certainty, variety, significance, and love. It's really astounding to realize that every single thing that we do in our lives, everything we want to have, own, do, and be, is simply to get our needs met. There are two others as well, but those are the four big ones. It's to get our emotional needs met. We want to feel good and not feel bad. And if we think that red sports car is going to make us feel good, we buy it. But often our strategy for getting the feeling that we're after is not a good strategy. And so part of what we want to do is help you identify high-quality goals, better strategies that will get you what you're after. And the safe goals will never get you what you're after, because all they're trying to do is just prevent you from feeling bad. They're not trying to create anything new that is really going to make you feel good about yourself and your life.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big part of it, and we have a lot more to say about that and a lot more to share about that with you in the future. Good. I think we have time for maybe one or two more quick questions. Anybody else have a good quick question? These are great so far.
Or even an aha that you want to share.
An aha, absolutely.
This is Willie.
Hi, Willie.
I had emotional beatings the entire year of 2009. I'm really grateful that it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
but I feel completely depleted on coming up with creating chocolate-covered problems. So I'm wondering how I jumpstart from the heart.
Well, Sue, do you want to say something? That's almost like we paid Willie to give the segue into the next thing I'm going to say, but we didn't. But what do you, what is your take on that? Do you want, have anything you want to share first?
No, I think I'll let you go on, Carol, because I think maybe that what you have to say will help Willie, and if not, maybe we can pick that question up again. What do you think?
Willie, I want to make sure I understand what you're saying. You said it in such a cute way. I think what you're saying is, how do I really find some high-quality goals, something from my heart that's really going to light me up, make me excited to go after it?
That would be correct. I took a step yesterday to move forward something that has generated that in the past. And I'm going to head coach a landmark course starting this weekend.
And that's been a good strategy in the past, and you know it has worked out. It has given you what you wanted. You're just not sure if there isn't some more in addition to that that you should be doing?
Oh, no, I've been doing plenty.
I should have said other places to be looking.
Oh, other places to be looking.
Yeah.
I couldn't come up with them looking at the list earlier. I was bereft of any goals.
Well, let me say a little bit more about this, because really you are touching on the next thing I want to really go into and I want you to think about. And if we don't answer the question, you can talk to us after the call or you can make an appointment to talk to us one-on-one. But I really do want to share on that very topic. So is it okay if I go on from here with that?
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay. So my next question is, what's next for you, each of you? What's next for you personally in making your big dreams for this new year a reality? I'm getting a little feedback, so I'm going to go back to mute. So I'll say that again. What's next for you in making your big dreams for this new year a reality? What Sue and I have come up with, what we are committed to doing to help you create your year your way, is inviting you to bring your what's possible for me inquiry. And I think that's exactly what Willie was alluding to, is in the inquiry of what's possible for me that I could be excited about this year, to our four-part telecourse that begins in just 2 weeks. It begins on Wednesday, February 11th. We're calling it Resolution Breakthrough, your fresh start for 2010. And aren't we all ready for a fresh start? Wow. In 4 one-hour sessions once a week, we will share with you the specific reasons that 82% of people fail to reach their goals and how to avoid those pitfalls. And we give you the tools that you've never had up till now to help you develop workable strategies for creating and fulfilling your own high-quality goals that will change your life forever. And as Willie alluded to, we don't expect you to come into the course with a whole bunch of goals. Just show me how to fix them. Show me how to reach them. That's not what it's about. It's about actually starting with, what do I want? Starting with developing high-quality goals. And there's a really great technique for doing that and uncovering what matters to me now, what matters to me in 3 years, and what would matter to me in 5 years, and actually starting to develop a list of high-quality goals for yourself. In just 4 weeks, you'll finally know exactly what you need to do to create the high-quality goals that you can be truly passionate about and to finally succeed at reaching them this time. With our help, you could make 2010 your year to triumph. And tonight, we hope that you got a taste of what would be possible for you if you're willing to step out of your safety zone and trade in the boring, predictable shoulds that most people call resolutions, and instead create goals that really matter to you and inspire and empower you. I actually prefer to call them dreams, not because I'm a certified dream coach, but dreams or goals, same thing. A goal is a dream with a deadline on it. That's the way we define it. So what's your number one high-quality goal for this year? It might be a loving relationship, a satisfying, well-paying career, a promotion in your career, a beautiful home, the car of your dreams, or a specific amount of money that you want to be earning now. Whatever it is, the only justification you need for pursuing it is simply that it matters to you. And the only requirement for fulfilling your high-quality goal is that it matters enough to you to put your desire, focus, and belief behind it. Sue and I are prepared to guide you every step of the way to help you overcome the obstacles and transform the limiting beliefs that always stop you from taking action to fulfill your dreams, don't they? Okay, as you hear my words, I know that you are probably thinking one of two things right now. You might be thinking, I would love to reach my big goal this year, but if I'm 100% honest with myself, I know that I'm not ready right now to put my entire desire, focus, and belief into achieving it. I'm just not up for that. I get a lot of pleasure from dreaming about it, but I know that I'm not ready to act on it yet. Or you could be thinking, I have been dreaming about reaching this big goal for so long, I'm sick of not having it. I don't want to spend another year not having it. I don't want to go on living without it. It really matters to me, and I'm not willing to go on just wishing and hoping for the life of my dreams. I'm finally ready to put my whole desire, focus, and belief behind it. If someone would just show me how and what to do to make my dream a reality, I would do it in a heartbeat. Well, if you know in your heart that you're in the first group and you're not ready right now to pursue your big goal, we respect your honesty and honor your feelings, absolutely. And there's really nothing more you need to do with us, except, of course, we do hope that you will complete the reflections exercise to clear a space for what you want to have someday when you're ready to receive it. But if you're in the second group, you need to do something more if you're going to turn your big goal or your dream of a better life, even if you don't have a specific big goal yet, into a reality now, this year, once and for all. Stop putting it off. You have to be willing to put your desire, focus, and belief behind what you really want for the entire month of February. Now remember, science has proven that it takes just 25 to 30 days to change an unworkable limiting belief or habit into a new empowering one. And I know that doesn't sound like much, but it takes consistent commitment to actually do that. To show up for a 60-minute phone call or replay every Wednesday night for 4 consecutive weeks and complete the assignments that we're going to give you are what you would need to do to actually succeed this time. But if you carry through, you'll be doing what only 18% of the population would ever be willing to do, and you'll have what 82% will never have, the incredible satisfaction of reaching a goal that actually matters to you. So if you know you would be willing to do that, then we think your time is now. You can create a plan and begin to make your big goal or discover your big goal and then make it a reality beginning in just 1 month. And that starts on February 3rd in 2 weeks. On Wednesday, February 3rd at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, you can be on your way to 1 month of making your dream life begin to happen. Right now, you can do it at a big savings. We really appreciate that you registered for this call and that you took the time to be on it. And so Sue and I are offering you a very special discount to you and only you. That will give you our Fresh Start for 2010 teleclass at a $50 savings. That's pretty amazing because we think it's a bargain at $197, but your price would be just $147 for this 4-week teleseminar. But you know, there's always a catch. There's no free lunch, right? So here's the catch. Sue and I know that there's this little voice in your head, and that's the one that's going to quickly try to talk you out of making an investment in yourself. It's the same little voice that is afraid you're going to risk going for your high-quality goals and your big dreams. That little voice wants you to stick with the old, familiar, safe problems that it knows you already know how to survive. But as seasoned coaches, we know that voice. We're on to it because we spend a lot of time helping our clients learn to transform that little voice so that they can get into action and fulfill their dreams. So because we're cagey coaches and we know about that voice, we're going to do two things to help you overcome its fear of risk and get into action. First, we're encouraging you to take immediate action by limiting our $50 savings offer to just 1 week. So you must register for the Fresh Start telecourse no later than next Wednesday, January 27th, by midnight Pacific time, if you want to reach your big goals in 2010 for only $147. After that, the price of success is going to go up to $197. And I don't know why on earth you'd want to wait, since you already know that you're ready to finally have what you want if you're in group two. And secondly, we know that this coaching program works. These precepts that we're using are tried and true. We've used them with clients many, many times, and they really, really work. We're just putting them together into one powerful one-month course. So because we believe in ourselves and we believe that we know how to show you what to do, we're offering you a 100% money-back guarantee. If you attend every class or listen to every replay, so you don't have to be at all the classes live, and do all the coursework, and at the end of the course you feel it wasn't worth what you paid us, we will give you your money back. So what have you got to lose? Absolutely nothing. We've done everything we can to reassure your little don't risk it voice, but it's actually only going to make a difference for you if you take action now. So if you are listening to me and you know you are in the second group, you know your time is now to reach your goals, this is your year, then as soon as you hang up, you should go to the website and register for the Fresh Start in 2010 telecourse. We use the same address that you use to register for this call, which is http://myjanuaryjumpstart.com. Same address, myjanuaryjumpstart.com. No www in there. Now, Sue and I hope that you will choose to register right away, and that you'll get let your friends know that even if they miss tonight's Jumpstart call, they can still get in on this bargain too. Tomorrow we'll email you a link for the replay of this call. There were quite a few people that couldn't be with us live, but they definitely wanted to hear the replay of the call, along with all the information about how to register for the telecourse for just $147. So you'll get that emailed to you tomorrow. And if you believe your friends who couldn't be here tonight or didn't know about the call would benefit too, please share with them what you got out of it and then forward them that email. Or you can also get their permission for us to email it to them, and we'll send them the reflections exercise at the same time along with the telecourse information. So they can hear the replay of this call, get the reflections exercise and the telecourse information if you give us their name and email after you've talked to them and gotten their permission. Or just forward it to them yourself. Once they hear this call, we know that they, like you, will want to have their big goals fulfilled this year too. And why wouldn't they want to do it for $50 less? So you need to hurry and beat the midnight January 27th deadline to get that bargain price registration. The replay and the registration message are going to be emailed to you tomorrow, so please let your friends know about it right away. I'm going to open up the lines one more time for just a minute before we say goodbye and see if there are any final questions. Any final questions about anything I said about the teleclass or what's next for you?
I do have a question.
Yes, who's that? Okay.
This is Tony. I was wondering what kind of time commitment you're talking about with the course assignments.
That's a really good question. It's going to vary from week to week, but I would say it's no more than a couple of hours. We're going to have you do some exercises, much like the reflections exercise, some things that will help you with different, different parts of the program to get you all the way from creating a goal, determining the goals that you want to go after this year, picking one of them and getting into action on it right away. And that'll probably take you an average of somewhere between 1, 2, 3 hours a week at the most.
Okay. Thank you.
Very good question. Any others? Okay. Well, wow, we've covered a lot of ground tonight, haven't we? Haven't we, Sue? Wow.
Yeah, we sure have.
Well, I know that Sue and I both sincerely want to thank you for your participation, don't we?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, everybody.
Whether it's your time to fulfill your big goals or not, we sincerely bless you for taking the time and effort to learn all you can about making your dreams a reality. We hope you took something really valuable away from the call tonight. By being here with us, you are helping raise the prosperity consciousness of the entire planet, and our world has never needed it more than it does right now. So I wish you, and I know Sue wishes you, much fulfillment and prosperity for the rest of this year and far, far into the future. And we will both stay on the line for a few minutes if you think of some other questions that you would like to ask after we end the recording. So look for the replay and the registration form tomorrow, and if you need to get in touch with us by email, you're welcome to do that too. Thank you so much, and good night.